Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Mel. Yeah, Texas, we were there for a couple of weeks, or for 1 week last July, so we thought we liked it, but we'll see when we get there. But thanks for having us again, and good morning and greetings to our online brethren as well. I don't know how long we've been attending and coming here to visit you many moons ago, and Pastor Mel and also Mr. Seamus used to come to San Leandro on a periodic basis. So we've been a sister church. Our San Leandro church has closed. We've been meeting as a Bible study once a month almost, and we're having our last meeting next week. So we're all excited. But we thank God for all the relationship that we've enjoyed with you all. And we loved coming here because you're so loving and accommodating, and you always welcomed us with warm hearts. So we trust that the closing of our sale of our house in Brentwood would be finalized. There are other things that could happen, but we're expecting to close on the 26th or 27th. So we have to be out of there by that time. And we've been busy packing and sorting. But that's where we are, and we're going to use a pods instead of a moving company. So we have a few days to pack it and then have them move it, because we don't have an address yet to go to. So our plan is to be there by February 1st, look around and see if the house that we built is good for us, or if we like it, or we can find other options. So that's where we are, and we thank you for your prayers. The sale of our house is one phase, and then the move is another phase, and then coming back to California is another phase, if you don't like it. Well, today is the first Sunday of the season of Epiphany. We just finished Christmas, Advent and Christmas season, and Epiphany lasts until the Transfiguration Sunday, which I think is the second Sunday of February, second or third. Epiphany means manifestation or revealing. So it's one of those seasons in our Christian calendar where we observe all these events in Jesus' life. As we've experienced during the Christmas season, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, it was revealed as a baby in a manger. He was revealed by God to the shepherds as a baby in a manger. And there's so many events that God revealed his son. The other event was when he was taken to the temple, when he was 8 days old, Simeon and Anna. So God revealed to them that this is the Messiah as a baby. When the Magi visited, he was revealed as a child to the kings from the east, or wise men from the east. He was revealed as the King of the Jews. They were looking for the King of the Jews. In our reading today in the Revised Common Lectionary, we see how Jesus is revealed as the Son of God in a profound and miraculous way through his baptism. The question is, why did Jesus had to be baptized? Did he need repentance that he had to go through the water of baptism? Was he a sinner? Wasn't he sinless and perfect? So why did Jesus need to be baptized? So let us look together at this passage in Matthew 3, verses 13 to 17, and see what revelations or epiphanies we can get from this reading together. So let's pray first. Dear God, our Father, we thank you so much for this season of Epiphany and for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, as our Savior. And thank you for revealing yourself to us in Christ. And we thank you that you love us. That's who we are. We are loved by you. You are a good, good Father. And we thank you very much for this time, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go to verse 13 on our reading today, I'd like to start with verse 1 of Matthew 3 to see who John the Baptist is in this story of the gospel. In verse 1 of Matthew 3, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." So in those days, what day was that? This is like Jesus is already 30 years old. So in chapter 2 of Matthew, we see the end of the story of Jesus coming out of Egypt and then settled in Nazareth. He was probably 3 or 4 years old at that time. And then jumping to verse 1 of chapter 3, Matthew said, in those days, wait a minute, that's 26 years after the end of chapter 2. So there's a big gap between the end of chapter 2 and start of chapter 1. In this verse, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea. I looked up, how long did John do his ministry? There are scholars are 3 months or 30 months. It could be 30 months. That's the long guess, or 3 months. But they were cousins. Jesus and John were relatives. And where was John preaching? It was in the Jordan River near Jericho. In the scriptures, it says near Bethany, which is near Jericho. And this is the traditional place where the Israelites crossed into the promised land with Joshua. So this is a popular place. It's historic to the Jews, to the Israelites. So 3 years ago, my wife and I were blessed to join a pilgrim to the Holy Land. And this is one of the stops, the baptism site of Jesus. So it was very moving to experience being there in different places in Israel. One of them is this place. The tourist area is on the west side of the Jordan, but the historical or traditional spot where Jesus was baptized was on the other side, is on the other side. So it's further away, and you need more permissions to get to the other side, because that's Jordan, the country of Jordan. But being there, and to me, imagining the events during Jesus' baptism, when the sky was open and the Father spoke, it was moving to be there at that spot, in that general area. It was awesome. And a lot of people were being baptized themselves, a lot of pilgrims getting baptized in the water. And it wasn't clear water. It was muddy water, because the water wasn't flowing. It was just stagnant. And notice what John the Baptist was preaching here. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Does that sound familiar? It's the same preaching when Jesus started preaching. It's the same message that Jesus started to preach, starting in Matthew 4, verse 17. When Jesus started his public ministry, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So John the Baptist is sent by God to announce to the Jewish people the nearness of the kingdom of heaven. It's there with them because Jesus was there already. The idea of a coming kingdom is well known to the Jews, and it was a source of hope for them because they were oppressed by the Romans, so they were hoping for this Messiah to deliver them. However, John's kingdom announcement is new and radical because it includes a call to repent and a declaration that the kingdom is near and around them already. What does repent mean? To repent means a radical change of mind and heart. And John declares that the Jewish people must repent if they are to enter the kingdom of heaven, the rule of God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So this is what John was preaching, repentance. And then in verse 11, he contrasted himself to Jesus, to the Messiah. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So the relationship of John the Baptist to Jesus, the Messiah, is clearly seen here as he is greater than I. John believes he is not even worthy to pick up Jesus' sandals or tie his shoelaces. John is simply an introducer of Jesus. He was preparing a remnant for the Messiah. And who is baptizing in water? Those who respond. And he baptizes them when they respond to his preaching. The coming Messiah will baptize them with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And this one was mentioned by Joel. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And we see this fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, and it dwelled on the believers. The Messiah brings renewal not only to the Jews, but to all the world. So John is giving a contrast between his ministry and the ministry of Jesus. John was baptizing with water, Jesus baptizing with the Holy Spirit. And the contrast here between water and the Holy Spirit leaves no doubt that the lasting renewal will be found in Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And that is the story of the whole gospel. That is the story of Jesus' life. And now let's look at his baptism story, starting in Matthew 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. So then Jesus came, that he came to John, to where John was baptizing. And Jesus, which we read in chapter 2, settled in Nazareth in Galilee, which is about 60 to 90 miles by foot to the spot where John the Baptist was baptizing. 60 miles, at least 60 miles. He had to walk 60 miles to see John the Baptist. And this journey was significant, as it was a deliberate act of humility in the part of Jesus to seek out John the Baptist in order to be baptized. He came to him purposely. Since the Bible tells us that their mothers were cousins, I would venture to say that John and Jesus knew each other during their younger years. Did John know that he was the Son of God? Maybe. Did he realize that he was the Messiah? Maybe, but the baptism cemented that faith in John. Although later on he was still asking, are you the Messiah? Are we waiting for somebody else? The thing here is when John saw Jesus approaching him, he knew who he was. And he was resistant to perform the baptism in verse 14. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? So I have a feeling that he knew who he was already. Remember when Mary, the mother of Jesus, visited Mary, the mother of John? John was in the womb and he was leaping for joy or something. So God must have revealed to him, even at that time, who Jesus was. So in verse 15, Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. So John probably said to Jesus, wait, cuz. I don't understand what you're trying to do here. Why are you coming to me to be baptized? I've been pointing people to you. You're the Messiah. And now you come to me. I'm not even worthy to wash your feet or do something in your feet. I should be baptized by you instead. And I can imagine Jesus was probably telling him, patting him on the shoulder and saying, hey, cuz, it's okay. I want to explain it to you, but there are a lot of people here and we don't have all the time. I can explain it to you later. You will understand. But let's get on with it, okay? So Jesus was saying when he said, let us do this to fulfill all righteousness, is to obey everything that the Father planned for him. I am here to do the Father's will, and it includes this baptism. When I was new in our church, in Worldwide Church of God, I was introduced to this water baptism. My background was Catholic, so I was resistant too. It's like, I was baptized when I was a baby, I think. Why do I have to be baptized again? When I read this passage about Jesus coming to John the Baptist and saying, let it be so, to fulfill all righteousness, a light was turned on in my heart. And I said, if Jesus was willing to be baptized, why wouldn't I? That cemented my decision. Ever since then, I'm a member of the church. So John agreed, and there goes Jesus in the water. Into the water Jesus went. Who is this Jesus again who was baptized? Who is this Messiah that John put under the water? He is the eternal God, as we know. Eternal Son of God who became human through the incarnation in Christmas. Jesus is thus fully God, divine, and yet fully human. Because he is God, the creator and sustainer of all life, in his humanity, he substitutes for and represents all people. And theologians call this the vicarious humanity of Jesus Christ. He bears in himself our full humanity, our full fallen human nature. So as the creator of all things, he bears in himself. He is our representative, humanity's Superman. He represented all creation and humanity. So now representing us all, he comes to receive John's baptism of repentance. And in that baptism, all humanity is baptized. Can you imagine that? Spiritually speaking, we were all baptized when Jesus was baptized. He went through our repentance for us. And according to Jesus, his baptism fulfills all righteousness. And what does that mean? Jesus is likely using the word righteousness as being made just or justified before God. In the baptism of Jesus, all humanity is baptized, and in that baptism, justified, forgiven, made right with, and reconciled to God. Jesus hasn't gone to the cross yet. How can that be? Well, it's a picture. Baptism is a picture of Jesus' death and resurrection. In verse 16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." That's a beautiful picture. It's another revelation of the Son of God. I think it's the first time that in the Bible where we see the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why did these events happen? Why did the heaven open and the Spirit descend to Jesus as a dove and the Father spoke his love to Jesus? Did Jesus need to see heaven open? I don't think so. He came from heaven. He knew what heaven was like. Did the Holy Spirit have to come to him? He is the second person of the Trinity. They knew each other for all eternity. So Jesus knew the Holy Spirit. Did he need to hear the Father loves him? Jesus knew the Father loved him since the beginning. These things happened not because Jesus needed to experience them, but for John and the people around him and for us today. These things happened because we need to know that there is heaven and there is Holy Spirit and the Father loves us. And this event verifies for John the Baptist that Jesus truly is the Son of God, and to reveal him to the people. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 31, John the Baptist said, "But the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." John the Baptist was the revelator or the introducer of the ministry of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And these events also fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy that the Spirit would rest on the Messiah, ushering in the Messianic age. After this, a new day has dawned. It is the new beginning. A new humanity is born out of the waters of baptism. This descent of the Holy Spirit and the words of the Father authenticates Jesus as the Messiah and empower him for his mission as the Savior of all. And this mission, this salvation is not merely what Jesus does, it's who Jesus is. And this work is for all humanity, not just for select few. So what are the lessons we can learn from this? Why did Jesus get baptized? The first one is Jesus was baptized to identify with us. To identify with us. He went through his baptism for us, for all humanity. He identified with the sinners who needed repentance. He stood there at the water among the broken, among the lost, among the least and the dead. This is solidarity, not confession. Just as he came with a humble beginning of being born in a manger, Jesus continues to show God's heart of humility when he enters the waters of Jordan with sinners. Just as the Magi found a child, not a king on a throne, John the Baptist meets the Messiah in muddy waters. What epiphany. What an epiphany. Before Jesus died for sinners, he stood with sinners in the water of baptism. Jesus does not save us from a distance. He enters our brokenness. As he went through that water, he enters it with us. We were there. He joined us. But then he rose again. Isaiah 53:12, he was numbered with the transgressors. And the second point is Jesus was baptized in obedience to the Father. Jesus shows his obedience to God's plan of redemption by going through his baptism. Baptism pictures the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. His baptism marks the beginning of his public obedience that will lead to the cross. His public ministry, his purpose for coming, will lead to the cross. As he went under the water for baptism, he shows us that he is willing to die for us, for all humanity. And as he came up from the water, he shows us that he will be raised to life for all humanity as well. Righteousness is fully doing the Father's will. And what is the Father's will? To redeem all humanity, reconcile all humanity back to himself. And the third point I want to share is that Jesus was baptized to reveal his identity. His baptism is an epiphany moment, revealing the Son, the Spirit, and the Father. Since we are in Christ, we are included in the Father's proclamation that we are also loved, and he is pleased with us. The Father is pleased with us not because of what we have done, or we are good or nice people. God is pleased with us because of who Jesus Christ is. Through his baptism, God is no longer hidden. The triune God is revealed. His baptism is not a private spiritual experience. It is a public unveiling. It's an epiphany. And at the Jordan River, heaven breaks into earth. So brothers and sisters, when Jesus was baptized at the Jordan River, let us keep in mind this picture. The Son stands among sinners. The Spirit descends to minister with him. And the Father speaks of his love and approval. This is who God is, revealed in Jesus Christ. This is how God saves, in the death and life of Jesus Christ. This is what love looks like. When it is revealed, you see the triune God working together to complete the redemption of his children. John the Baptist is calling for us to repent, change our minds about God and about how he loves us, and believe this good news and trust in Jesus Christ that he has done it all for us. In him, we are included in the love of God. The Father loves you and me, and he is pleased with us. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ, or are you still standing at the riverbank watching? This is an epiphany. God loves you. God loves you. God loves me. Jesus was baptized not because he needed to change, but because he came to change us. What a beautiful picture. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, our Father, we thank you so much for your love and for accepting us and for leading us into the baptism of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And thank you for this wonderful picture of revealing yourself to us and helping us to know more about you and how much you love us. And we ask for your blessing for the rest of the week and for this day. And we ask for your dismissal and pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this church, upon everyone here and those who are at home, that we may continue to grow in our walk with our Lord and with the Holy Spirit. We thank you so much for your love, and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.